It's an exciting day here at Grace Calvary Church. One of the pastors, in fact, my partner in ministry, we've been laboring together these 12 years, is Pastor Craig. And Pastor Craig, this Memorial Day weekend, is going to bring the message today. So let's really give it up for Pastor Craig.
Well, good morning. If you please turn to your Bibles to Romans, we're going to look at a couple of chapters there. Romans chapter 1. Now, may I have your attention? Forgive me if I cause offense, but I find it hard to swallow when I hear the word communism, because I was taught at a young age that I live in the land of the free. Forgive me if I lack patience, but it's hard to find it to sit still when I hear the word socialism, because again, when I was taught at a young age, I live in the home of the brave. And forgive me if I sound politically incorrect, but I live in the land of the Republic of the United States of America, where it's one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Therefore, this Memorial Day weekend, I declare from this pulpit, I cry out in this anointed hour. And yes, my eyes are brought to tears, especially with that song that we just sung. I couldn't sing it. But my heart breaks for our nation, because only in the Lord Jesus Christ can we truly say, let freedom ring. I'll say it again. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for our freedom in this country. Father, we just ask you now that you would anoint these people, anoint the preacher, anoint this place by the power of your Spirit, of your grace. Lord, we are living in a rebellious age. We are living in desperate times. Therefore, God, open our eyes to see the light of your glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you were to ask me, Pastor Craig, are you patriotic? I would have to say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's funny. Back when I used to say the Old Spangled Banner, when we used to sing that in school, I would get choked up for being in the land of the free. We really are privileged to be in the United States of America. So again, we are patriotic. And I know some far leftists, some jihadists, may think ill of our country, but we were taught to honor authority over us. This American flag that's right here on the right side of me, we have this beautiful red and white stripes, the stars that represent all of our states and our country. It reminds me that in God we trust. The founding fathers wanted our country based on that. And there was great sacrifices made by men and women who died to protect this great nation. That's what Memorial Day weekend's about. But I also know that politics will not heal our nation. Listen to me, the only hope that our nation has, matter of fact, any nation, is only found in the eternal Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to true freedom. Do you agree? First, in Romans chapters 1 through 3, we're going to look at what the world has plunged into this long-head sin. The truth must be told, because only the truth can set people free. So notice in chapter 1 of Romans, We're going to look at verse 18 through 32 and how God has given us over to sin. Beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who suppresses the truth in all unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident for them and to them. Since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without an excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, because they gave futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what is Paul saying here? That creation itself made God's existence as plain as day, but they sinfully were darkened, their hearts were, and they could not see him, and that was so sad. Continuing in verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man, and the birds of the air, and the four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust in their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served a creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for women exchanged the natural function for that which is natural. In the same way, men abandoned the natural function of women and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Listen, I love America, but our nation is on a spiritual decline. We are on a very slippery slope. Therefore, I say to God, God bless our young people who stands for Jesus Christ in this wicked age. God bless any Christians who refuse to conform to this world but want to show Jesus as their Savior. So we do. We need to pray for our young people, especially our teenagers that are growing up and going to be going out into the world. Pray for our young people that are already in colleges, that they be able to stand against, on God's word, against these professors that just want to rip out their faith out of their hearts. And we need to pray for our families who have young kids, that they continue to grow and allow them to experience and show faith in what this is all about. It was really neat watching Steve pray this morning. He was praying for the offering, and his daughter Zoe, it just was looking up at Daddy, watching him pray. And there's nothing wrong with letting your kids see that. That grows their faith. I told you in the past that we used to, you know, sit down in our hall. We used to pray about things, about Dad who lost his job and finding another one. And when then Dad found a job, you're like, wow, okay, God really hears us and he wants to be part of our life. So it's good to let your children see that and go through stuff, and how God can be come through on his word. So pray for our young people. We continue in verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, strife, murder, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthiness, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they do not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Did you notice in those verses that God three times said that he gave them over? Verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. As if God was saying, go ahead, let humanity live as free and sin as you want. Do you want to sin? Then go ahead and do it, for that's the height of the depravity. Nevertheless, going over to Romans chapter 2, verse 1, we read, God declare that we are without excuse. Verse 1, therefore you are without excuse, every man of you that passes judgment, for in you that judges one another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. This is like saying, take a good look in the mirror at ourselves. Apart from Jesus Christ, we are guilty as the next person. We all have sinned, every single person in this room, in this world. Moreover, the chapter teaches us that creation condemns us for not believing in God. Our conscience condemns us for not obeying God. And the law of God proves that we are sinners. It's funny, this past Thursday, I believe it was, in the Daily Bread, it talked about throwing stones. When they brought the adulterous woman up to Jesus, and they said, hey, this woman is caught in adultery. We're supposed to stone her. Jesus, what should we do? And they were looking to get him in a lie. So Jesus just knelt down and started writing in the sand. And then he finally said, he who is without sin cast the first stone at her. They started to leave. They couldn't do that. And then later he got up and said, hey, where's your accusers? She said, they're all gone. We don't need to be throwing stones to one another, especially of us that are in the church of Christ. We need to show the love of Christ to everyone in our room. We all know that we struggle and we go through things, so we need here to encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Going over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Pages are flipping. I like to hear that. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Can you quote that with me? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, church family, does that sound like freedom? Does it sound like liberty to you? Absolutely not. So where is our hope found? In chapters 4 and 5, we discover the answer. True liberty, true freedom is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. As a point of observation, in Romans chapter 4, Abraham and King David illustrated how salvation is by what? It's by faith alone, in Christ alone, in God's grace alone. Another thing you need to put on your mirror when you see it every morning. So now turn with me to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have attained our instruction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice how faith is the instrument of what? It's the instrument of justification. And what does justification mean? To be declared righteous through Jesus Christ. Therefore, what our positional standing is before God, it is the grace in which we stand. That's in verse 2. So where is true liberty found in? It's found in God's grace. 100% grace. Hallelujah. In verse 3, Paul continues, and not only this, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings proven character. Proven character brings hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Salvation is a relationship, isn't it? And by God's grace is growing our character and is growing our character, period. So when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have a great faith in Him. We have a great journey that we have. Now, we're going to have some ups and downs, but that's okay. God's going to continue to be with us no matter what we go through. Thank the Lord Jesus, we're still in God's grace. Look ahead with me in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps a good man, someone would dare even die. But God demonstrated His own love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Here's our greatest hope. Here's our joy in the Lord. And what is that? That just at the right time, just at the right moment, Christ died for you and for me, the sinner, the ungodly. So who are welcome to hear this message of hope at Grace Calvary Church? Sinners. But then also expect the message from this pulpit to lead you to Calvary. Honestly, again, as we look at this nation, we see a lot of freedoms being taken away. I see our families, our children are being robbed of the liberty that we had. Ask yourself, where is the freedom of these innocent babies that are robbed of life? Now, thank the Lord that some of these states are putting new laws into effect, and we got to pray that those things will be able to stand and that these judges will not take them back down. We really got to pray for our leadership and all those in authority that they really bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek His face. So thirdly, in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, we are all challenged. We are challenged in those scriptures to walk, to live, to eat, to breathe, and to celebrate this new freedom in Christ. Are you with me?
Amen.
And why? Because think about it. Jesus Christ is our spiritual identity. And this will never change. And then we'll be able to see Jesus face to face, worship Him at His footstool. But we are forever spiritually identified with Christ, with Him. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too might we walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and certainty we will also be in his likeness of his resurrection. So who has died? Our old self, our old identity. And who I am now, I am 100% identified in his death, his burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you do come to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, then you want to be baptized. That's an outward profession of your faith. But I love, again, the symbolism. When you are being baptized, you're actually, your old man's going down in the water, and then you're being raised up in Christ, the new creator. We're in his burial, his death, and his resurrection. This is an amazing truth. In Jesus Christ, all of us who have the potential of walking, we all have the potential of walking in spiritual victory. Verses 10 and 13. For the death that he died to sin for once and for all. But for the life that he lives unto God. Even consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting members of your body as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members an instrument of God's righteousness. You know, we may struggle, we may fall, but you know what? God is always there. He's in that struggle with us. If there's nothing else you get from this message this morning, remember this. No matter what you're going through, God is always there with you. He walks through the struggle with you. Whether it's a sickness or a disease, whether it's a relationship, whether it's even just financial problems. But talk to the Lord Jesus. Tell him what's on your mind. He knows it anyway. He desires that fellowship more than anything. So God is with us. So here's what I suggest. If freedom rings, let it bring men and women and boys and girls to the cross of Calvary. May it enter our hearts and forever change our lives. Let it sound from the mountaintops and into the valleys of what Jesus Christ did for us. And not to be so angry, but show the love of Christ. Amen. I was reminded, Colleen and I, we went out to dinner Friday, I guess it was. And we were at the diner, and Colleen ordered her eggs, and I had my beautiful shrimp parmesan. But Colleen was shaking her ketchup bottle, and all of a sudden, when she opened it, it exploded. It exploded on the table. It was on her blouse. It was everywhere. I couldn't believe it. And then she's like, is it in my hair? Is it in my hair? Thankfully, it wasn't in the hair. But it had gotten on her jewelry, and it was just everywhere. So the waitress came over, and she's like, oh, I can't believe that. I'm so sorry. Here's a, you know, got her seltzer water, got her some rags. And she was cleaning herself up. But then later, after the waitress, she came over later again. She's like, thank you for not getting upset. She's like, a lot of people would be upset. And like, I think they would probably try to get a meal or a free dessert out of it. Colleen's like, you know, what are you going to do? It's fine. So it was nice to show that, you know, there was a love that we could have showed there. We didn't expect it or look for it. It just happened. The waitress was very grateful for that. But matter of fact, when we were leaving, poor Colleen had white shorts on. So then she comes running over. She's like, honey, honey, honey. She's like, you have a red spot on the back. I don't know how it got to the back of her shorts, but it did. So she's like, oh, thank you for telling me. So we left. And Colin's like, we're going home. We're supposed to go shopping, but you know, I'm like, okay. So we left. We left Manahawkin and had to go back home to Barnegat. Wife got changed and came back to Manahawkin to do some of our shopping. But again, just those small moments that the lady realized that we weren't upset, because she said that a lot of people would. So we really need to show the love of Christ to this world who desperately needs us. And again, the only true freedom that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you that you are a great God. Father, we thank you that you're in control of all things. You're all in control of Washington. Father, we pray that these people would be able to bow the knee to you, to ask for your wisdom. God, we do pray for these judges, that God, that they would seek your face, or then inside their hearts to be morally wrong to do some of these crazy things. But God, we again thank you that you hold all these things in your hand. And Father God, for our own personal relationships with our family members, our neighbors, we ask you, Lord God, that we would continue to show the love of Christ to this world. God, we do thank you again for the men and for the women who died serving this country. God, we ask you to bless their families. And Lord God, again, we just thank you for your love of your Son. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.